This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always contribute to the program. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. We have plenty of college basketball to react to from a busy, busy Saturday, including what very well could have been a Final Four preview. Not just one game, but two games. Like, we literally could have seen the exact Final Four matchups. Possibly. And then, of course, NBA action hot and heavy. We have a full schedule here on Sunday to preview. And bright and early, Sunday morning, the Olympic ice hockey gold medal game between the United States and Canada. We will have a full breakdown of that coming up in about a half an hour from now. We'll also be joined by VSiN's hockey analyst, Jonathan Davis, from SiriusXM NHL Radio. And we'll get his take and his best bets for this game. I can tell you right now, I've been torn. I've gone back and forth trying to figure out the best way to bet this game. And I think I have figured it out. And I'll tell you guys about that coming up here in a little bit. But I want to start in college basketball because we had two incredible games here on Saturday. Two legit Final Four previews. And when I say Final Four previews, I don't just mean, hey, two teams that could make the Final Four. And like, yeah, they're good teams. They're top 10 teams or top 25 teams that could have a good run come March. No, I'm talking about legit. If you just go off of the odds, the most likely Final Four is the four teams that we saw play each other here on Saturday. The top four favorites to reach the Final Four: Michigan, Duke, Arizona, and Houston. Those are your top betting favorites to make the Final Four. Those are also, coincidentally, and not coincidentally, because obviously you expect it, the top four favorites to win the national championship. But to make the Final Four, they are your top four betting favorites. And those teams played each other here on Saturday. One game was a neutral site game that was scheduled, a fun little game between Duke and Michigan. The other one was a conference game, obviously in the Big 12, between Houston and Arizona. I was on the losing side of both of these games. Okay. I'll admit it. I lost both of these games. I thought playing Houston was the right side in this matchup against a shorthanded Arizona team. And it was a Houston team off of a loss where they had won 14 of their last 15 games after a loss under Kelvin Sampson, and playing at home after that tough defeat on Monday against Iowa State, welcoming in, as I mentioned, a shorthanded Arizona team. As important as this game was, I felt, hey, this is a great spot to back Houston. Also knowing that they have a spot coming up where it's going to be a little bit tricky going on the road to Allen Fieldhouse on Monday, playing at Kansas. And I'm thinking, well, listen, you can't look ahead to games, but like, you're trying to map out the schedule, like, win your home game here, play this game, win this home game. Not to be. Arizona wins 73-66, as it was, you know, back and forth a little bit. In the second half, it was much more competitive. The first half, Arizona jumped out to a lead, and then Houston kept clawing back. Arizona, 3 of 12 from three-point range. They did most of their damage from inside the paint, which is what Arizona does this year, 38 points from inside the paint. They had a, 12 fast break points. They had the rebounding edge was pretty even, 37 to 39. The free throws certainly concerning for Arizona to miss 11 free throws over the course of the game. Houston didn't shoot poorly, 8 of 26. I mean, it is bad, but it's not like terrible from three-point range considering how bad Arizona was. But overall from the field, Houston shot just 36%, 20 of 56 from the field. I still think Houston is a Final Four team. I still think this Houston team is good enough to beat anybody in college basketball. This was a spot I would have loved to see them win, but I still think that this team can line up with anybody in the country and win a basketball game. The result of this game does not change my opinion about Houston. It doesn't change my opinion about Arizona either, because coming into this game, and I talked about it all week when I was hosting here on VSiN, and we were trying to map out which of these teams have, you know, the edge, like in the game specifically, and which of these teams have the edge in the futures market, meaning like who's got the higher ceiling, who would you rather have moving forward as opposed to like, you know, playing in this game. And my answer, and that was pretty much the consensus answer from people that I spoke to, was we want to bet Houston in this game. But if we're picking a team to go further in March, probably Arizona. I still feel that way. Now, I think they're both Final Four teams. Like I said, this was a Final Four preview. And I believe that. So I'm not taking too much away from this win by Arizona and the loss by Houston. And I feel the exact same way about the other Final Four preview that we had here on Saturday, where Duke and Michigan played the neutral site game in Washington, D.C. at Capital One Center. Michigan was a 2.5-point favorite. I was fascinated by this point spread. I was wondering where this line would go. And as I'm monitoring it throughout the morning, I'm thinking about when I want to fire in on Michigan. Now, what I said yesterday when I was hosting VSiN Primetime was Michigan is power rated as the better team. The sharp books, like here at Circa, all had Michigan, right, -2.5 or so, right? -3 actually earlier in the week. It goes down to -2.5. And I was curious, because the public loves betting favorites, would the line move up towards Michigan, and would actually Duke be the play? But then I thought, well, Duke is such a national team that the public might come in and say, hey, we're getting Duke as a dog. We want to bet on Duke as an underdog. And so the public's going to come in and bet Duke as the underdog. And as I'm watching the betting splits, which, by the way, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you have access to the betting splits, so go ahead and take a look at that, right? Take advantage of that. And I'm seeing a large public percentage on Duke, which went into my thought process. It played out like exactly how I thought. Duke is a public team. Duke's getting public money. But the spread went up to 3. So I thought, hey, public money on Duke, Circa moved to 3. I can still get 2.5 at other books. I am firing on Michigan, -2.5. Well, Michigan loses outright against Duke here in the neutral site game. Not a great shooting performance from Michigan. They wound up going 6 of 25 from 3-point range. And there were a couple of moments you can look back, end of the first half, there was a sequence where there was a missed layup and then a foul. There was kind of like a 4-point swing there. There was also a situation late in the second half that kind of changed some things. Like you certainly, you can look at a bunch of plays over the course of the game and say, I'd like to have this back. I'd like to have this back. If this happened, it plays out differently. You never know. And by the way, it happens for both teams. There was moments for Duke as well that you can question going back and forth. But when it's all said and done, Duke gets the victory 68-63. Cameron Boozer had 18 points here for Duke. He also had 10 rebounds and 7 assists. Mr. Do-It-All for the Blue Devils, who improved to 25-2 on the season. Michigan drops to 25-2 on the season. My opinion on Michigan doesn't change at all. My opinion on Duke doesn't change at all. I've always felt that these are Final Four teams. I'm not going off of that based on this performance. And I don't know, I'll be honest, I don't know if Michigan drops from number one this week when the new rankings come out. Now, is there a world where people are going to be people are going to be voting for Duke to be the new number one team after this win? I could see it. Houston, which got one first place vote, like one number one vote in last week's AP Top 25, their loss to Arizona is going to drop them down. If anything, I'd probably flip-flop Arizona and Houston. So, like, Arizona goes from number 4 to number 2. Houston goes from number 2 to number 4. Arizona goes to number 2, Houston, or Arizona goes to number 4, no, let me say this again, Houston goes to number 4. Arizona goes to number 3. Duke at 2. Michigan at 1. And if you want to flip-flop Duke and make Duke the number one, new number one team in the nation, I can't argue with it because they won this game outright on a neutral site. But I also don't think Michigan's going to be punished because of that loss. So it could just be Michigan remaining at number 1, Duke at number 2, Arizona at 3, Houston at 4. UConn did get a big bounce back win over Villanova here on Saturday, but their loss to Creighton earlier this week as a 16-point home favorite is one of the uglier losses you're going to see this season in college basketball. So in no way, shape, or form would I move up UConn in the rankings. And this is going to be interesting when it comes down to the final stretch here of the Big East schedule. UConn and St. John's play each other this week. That game's going to be in Hartford. If St. John's already has the leg up now at 15-1 in the conference and UConn dropping to 15-2, St. John's wins that game, they're going to lock up the number one seed in the Big East Conference tournament, and they're going to win the Big East regular season. And that might just crush UConn's chances of getting a number one seed. But if UConn wins, reclaim first place in the Big East, win the Big East tournament, finish the season with only 3 losses as a Big East champion, there's an outside chance that UConn might get a number one seed here in the NCAA tournament. Hey, college basketball is rolling and baseball season's here. Now's the perfect time to bet smarter with VSiN Pro. Sign up today, get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus our new MLB betting guide. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual subscription. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to you our full preview of the gold medal game between the United States and Canada coming up bright and early here on Sunday morning. And then in about a half an hour from now, we'll be joined by Jonathan Davis, our betting analyst, our NHL betting analyst here on VSiN, also the host of Ice Cap on SiriusXM's NHL Radio. I think him and I might be aligned on some things, but man, I've struggled with this game, and I think I figured out the best way for me to bet it. So we'll give you those bets coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. Want to talk about what happened in the NBA here on Saturday and what bets we can make coming up here on Sunday. Earlier in the day, we saw the Suns get a 113-110 overtime win over the Magic, but the Suns got some bad news as Dylan Brooks suffered a broken hand, and he is going to be out an extended period of time. And also, Devin Booker is going to miss at least a week because of a right hip strain that happened against the Spurs on Thursday. So this could be a Suns team that we want to fade over the next couple of games here without both Brooks and without Devin Booker. So that is certainly a big blow to their lineup. Elsewhere, how about the comeback from the New York Knicks? You know, I was trashing them and how they blew an opportunity against the Detroit Pistons this week. Marquee game at Madison Square Garden. They came up short. But here on a Saturday night, an even bigger matchup against the likes of Kevin Durant and the Houston Rockets, the Knicks outscoring Houston 33-15 in the fourth quarter to come from behind and win the game 108-106. Great effort, great comeback effort, incredible atmosphere at the Garden. Karl Anthony Towns finished with 25 points. Jalen Brunson had 20. And the Knicks getting contributions really from everybody up and down the bench, including 5 steals from Jose Alvarado, which is the reason why you get a guy like Jose Alvarado because you want him to be the annoying gnat and get you some steals. You had a couple of rebounds from Mitchell Robinson. Cat finished leading the team with 7 rebounds, 6 assists from both Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson. The Knicks surprisingly did not shoot a lot of threes in this game. I mean, they were 10 of 26. OG Anunoby was 2 of 7, but, surprisingly not a lot of threes shot in this game. Maybe not the game plan there against this Rockets team. Elsewhere, what a beat it was if you had the Spurs minus 18 like I did against the Sacramento Kings, the tanking Sacramento Kings, who actually did what we expected them to do, play hard in the first half and then tank in the second half, right? So they score 65 points in the first half, the Sacramento Kings. And then in the second half, obviously, they just don't play defense. Spurs score 34 points in the fourth quarter. The Spurs are up by 20 with 40 seconds left in this game. They're up 139 to 119. They get called for a 3-second violation. This game, by the way, was played in Austin at the Moody Center. And, you know, the Spurs do a couple games there a year. This game, a 3-second violation against the Spurs. I don't remember the last time I saw that called in an NBA game. And then on the ensuing possession, Doug McDermott hits a meaningless 3-pointer for the Kings. Final score, 139-122. Bad beat there. Pistons blow out the Bulls, 126-110. The Heat, a 136-120 route over the Grizzlies. Pelicans beat the Sixers, 126-111. So those are your results here from Saturday. Here's your schedule on Sunday. The action gets started 1 o'clock Eastern time with the Cavs at the Thunder. And right now, Cleveland is laying 2.5. This is obviously a marquee matchup with, some people could say, an NBA Finals preview, because ever since the acquisition of James Harden, the Cavs are 5-0, and people are saying that this is the team to bet in the Eastern Conference. I am not going to be betting them because I like to fade James Harden come playoff time. You know, call me when he has a big-time performance in a closeout game and wins a playoff series because of him. I've seen too many disappearing acts from James Harden in the playoffs. There's a reason why the guy bounces around from team to team to team to team to team, right? Anyway, the Cavs, 2.5-point favorites at OKC, your total of 225.5. When I see an early start time in the NBA, it's like an automatic signal for me to bet an under. So let me just look here real quick. Any game that starts before 1 o'clock, so that's what, 1300 hours, right? On the military time here. If we look at these games, it is, 55 and 50 to the under. Okay. And that is obviously since the start of 2021. Let's just go to the last two seasons here. 30 and 25 to the under over the last two seasons. Let's try and isolate some things here, and we'll see if it is a weekend game. How about a Sunday? How about the Sunday morning? Let's try and isolate Sunday mornings. Actually, it improves. It's 18 and 15 on Sunday mornings. So that's interesting there. But it's always like, to me, it's these games, by the way, average a total of 223, and the total in this game is 225.5. So right away, I'm seeing like that we have an average of 223. It's a lower scoring games, and this total is higher than the average of what we normally see on these early start times. But maybe it's a first half under. Maybe that's the way that I want to play it here. Look at that, 30 and 23 to the first half under in the last two seasons. First quarter unders, let's see. It's 50-50. So nothing in the first quarter, but first halves go under, full games go under. Better numbers in the first half to go under than the full game to go under. Early start time messes with the players' body clocks, right? They're not used to playing these early start time games, although they are a little bit rested post All-Star break, so maybe it doesn't have the same type of, same influence that it would have. But over the grind of a season, I do think that the early start times playing the unders has just always been the way to go. And that's probably what I'm going to do here between the Cavs and the Thunder. And the other thing about the Thunder is that they're shorthanded, right? No SGA, no J-Dub. Like, this is going to be, points might be hard to find here. And with the Cavs, who are getting healthier, who will have both of their big men in Allen and Mobley, right? So maybe, you know, maybe I can do a Thunder team total to go under. If that's the way I can do it, instead of a full game under, maybe it is a Thunder team total under. But that's the way I lean here for the Cavs and the Thunder. That is your marquee game, 1 o'clock Eastern time, nationally televised on ABC. Then the second part of that doubleheader on ABC is going to be the Nuggets and the Warriors. Obviously doesn't have the same oomph as we thought it was going to have, you know, when the schedule came out. Nuggets are a 4.5-point favorite. Jokic has been on a tear. I see no reason why he doesn't have success here against this Warriors team. You know, without Steph Curry, this team is just, they're a shell of themselves. I certainly have not liked what I saw from them. Although that fourth quarter against the Celtics during the week, which caused me to lose my bet on Jaylen Brown unders because the starters have to come back in the game. Celtics had a 30-point lead going into the fourth quarter. And then the backups could not hold the lead into the fourth quarter. The starters had to come back in with 6 minutes left. And that I lost an under on that because of those starters coming back in. And then later in the day, or your Sunday night game on NBC, is the Celtics and the Lakers, where Boston is a 1.5-point favorite. Boston's played great. There's no other way around it. They've played great. There was that post that was circulating on social media from Jaylen Brown that everyone thought like he was taking a knock at Jason Tatum. He wasn't taking a knock at Jason Tatum. He was just showing how without Tatum, everybody counted out this team. And really, they shouldn't have, because if you look at the numbers this year, they're almost identical to where they were last year. This is a team that was at the All-Star break as the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. And you look at their net rating, it's like comparable to where it was last year. So why last year is this team the favorite to win the East, the favorite to go with the OKC Thunder, to go to the NBA Finals? Everyone talks about how dominant the Celtics are. Yes, they lose one of the greatest players in the world, but they have picked up the slack around him. This team has played great basketball. I actually like the Celtics here against the Lakers in this spot. Although we have seen LeBron step up in moments like this. He kind of took it easy in the first game after the All-Star break. I know he was dealing with knee soreness, but maybe this is a game where he steps up here, nationally televised on Sunday night. Hey, if you want to stay sharp as a bettor, having the right information makes all the difference. Just Win Bets Baby uses mathematical models and AI-driven analysis to help identify value and break down betting markets across multiple sports. From college hoops to the NBA, UFC, and international soccer, they're providing insights to help you make smarter decisions. They also go live every Friday with a full weekend betting preview, and right now their picks are free for a limited time. Just scan the QR code on your screen and follow Just Win Bets Baby to stay ahead of the market. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Coming up next, we will preview the United States and Canada, the gold medal hockey game here for Sunday morning. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by VSiN's hockey analyst, Jonathan Davis. We'll get his best bets for the gold medal game between the United States and Canada. A little bit of synergy, as this game will be played on February 22nd, and it was, of course, February 22nd, 1980, the last time the U.S. men won gold medal at the Winter Olympics in ice hockey. Of course, the Miracle on Ice team. I know a lot of people have been referencing the movie Miracle this past week, or just the last day or so, getting ready for this matchup against Canada. Not quite the same situation. Like, this is a pick'em game, and it's not college kids against the Soviets in what is considered the greatest sports upset of all time. But it is good just to get in that mode, just get in that mindset, right? Listen to that Kurt Russell, Herb Brooks speech and get motivated for this game. By the way, for those who love the movie Miracle and want to know more about the story behind, like, the 1980 U.S. team. There's, I know on Netflix now, there's like another documentary, but there's one that came out in 2001, I think it was, called from HBO Sports, called Miracle on Ice, right? And that one, it's like literally, it goes into everything that was going on in the world and everything behind that team and so many different things that maybe you didn't know about that game. So I highly recommend that, just, you know, beyond just watching a Disney movie, which did a great job, by the way, of representing that game. So yeah, a little synergy, both February 22nd, the gold medal game here. We'll see if the U.S. can repeat history with a win over Canada. This has been an incredible tournament, and I'm so happy that NHL players are back in the Olympics. I know that we had one devastating injury with Kevin Fiala of the LA Kings going down for Team Swiss, and that's a terrible blow. And that, unfortunately, is going to happen in these tournaments. But I don't think that that should deter the NHL owners and Gary Bettman, the commissioner, from continuing to send NHL players to the Olympics. Even though they lose the money over this 2 weeks, right? And they don't get the same publicity that, you know, they did last year when they replaced the All-Star game with the Four Nations face-off, which I thought was incredible and a great precursor to the Olympics this year. You're still drawing all these eyeballs. You're still drawing people to your sport that, yes, it's not on your networks. You're not getting the money, but people will hopefully tune in after the Olympic Games are over to watch NHL teams and to celebrate these players once they return from Italy. And so I hope that the NHL continues to send its players to the Olympics, because it certainly makes for you want to see best on best. Now, yeah, some people will say, well, with Russia not being involved, it's not best on best, because, I mean, you can make, I mean, the Russian team, much like the United States team, the Finland team, Sweden, the United States, Sweden, and Canada, every player on the rosters on an NHL team. Russia would be the same way. Every player on the roster would be in the NHL. And so we'd certainly love to see that. But again, that's way beyond any of us having a conversation right now. Bottom line is, this has been an incredible tournament, and I've enjoyed the heck out of it. It's also been a very good tournament to bet. The live betting in this tournament has been some of the most profit I've made, live betting hockey games. Yeah, a lot of it is because Canada has been dropping, going down early in games, and you've had opportunities to live bet Team Canada, which is great. But you've also had opportunities to live bet totals, and and that's been extremely profitable. If you can kind of pick, you know, think about the way that the game is playing out, how the game could finish, you could definitely take advantage from a live betting perspective going into a period, whether it's a second period over 1.5, or whether it's a third period over 1.5 after a couple of minutes go by, whether it's a game total to go over because you're thinking about the possibility of a team tying the game and going to overtime, or if not, maybe an empty net goal adding to the total. There's so many different ways to live bet this game. Now, I have gone back and forth on this gold medal game, and it has been very, very difficult for me to come up with the best bets. But I've done it. I am settled now on my bets for this game. Before we get to that, I'll just start out by saying, before the tournament started, we talked about it here on VSiN, I gave it out to everybody, we bet the United States plus 200 to win the gold medal. The thought process was, when we got to the gold medal game, which was the most likely result, USA versus Canada, you would not get the US plus 200. It would be closer to even money, or plus 110 or plus 105 or minus 105. And that's what it is right now. Canada's minus 120. The United States is even money. Am I hedging off of my plus 200? No, I'm not doing that. I found other ways to bet this game. The total is at 5.5 right now. And the under is significantly juiced at most books. The over plus 130 up on DraftKings and some other books as well, with the plus money on the overs. When I first look at a double elimination game, my gut instinct, my first instinct, is an auto under bet. And it makes sense. Going back to the history of the database, game sevens in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, regardless of the round, 60% to the under. That's just, we know game sevens go under in the NHL. and then double elimination games, like we have seen in this tournament, they tend to trend heavily towards the under, right? We've seen it. Most of the time, these games go under. Canada-Finland, 3-2, under. The United States-Slovakia didn't because the U.S. just scored at will, right, in their game. Quarterfinal games, right, we had two unders and two overs. Slovakia-Germany, 6-2. Canada-Czechia, 4-3. Those were overs. Finland-Switzerland, 3-2 to the under. The United States and Sweden, 2-1 to the under. The play-in round saw all four games go under. And we gave that out here on VSiN, actually, all four of those games to go under. So the majority of these elimination games have gone under. However, I was listening to Eddie Olczyk earlier this week, actually yesterday, on Follow the Money. I was hosting VSiN Primetime right after Follow the Money yesterday, and it was the final segment of the show. And here's what Eddie Olczyk had to say with Mitch and Pauly on yesterday's Follow the Money about the total in this game.
And I will say this, is I was thinking about this during the game, and you know, it's not the time and place, you know, in doing the game or whatever. And I thought I might get to it, but I just kind of kept it under. But I guess I'll say it now. I feel with watching Canada and watching the Americans so far in this tournament, I feel like Sunday's gold medal game's got a chance to be 5-3.
Oh.
6-6-5.
Holy smokes.
I just have this feeling with holes on either side when it comes to the offensive push from the other teams. You're going to get your chances. And I think when you give up chances in the offense that both of these teams possess, now, how's the game going to be called? Is it going to be
good call?
Three power plays for Team USA and two for Canada, or vice versa, whatever it is. But I don't know. I just have a feeling that it's got a chance to be a higher scoring game in that gold medal game. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I think it's got a chance to be one hell of a game. And which goaltender can be... What goaltender could make the save when you need it, more so than maybe when a guy gives up one that's soft or shouldn't go in, and then are you able to overcome it, if that makes any sense?
When I heard that, I started to think as well. I walked in here to the studio, and Mitch Moss knows that I'm a big hockey bettor, and he says to me, hey, did you hear what Eddie O just said about the game? And I go, Mitch, I got to be honest with you. I think I agree with him. These teams are so good offensively. And yes, the U.S. blue line is incredible, and it's very difficult to score on them. But they haven't faced anybody like Canada since, obviously, the Four Nations last year. This game, to me, feels like we're going to see goals being scored. I could see 4-3, an overtime win by one of these teams, 4-3. But mainly, I think, and 5.5 is a great number because I actually think it's a 3-2 final. I went ahead and I played for a same game parlay at minus 105 odds. The United States plus 1.5 goals and the over 4.5 goals. I also sprinkled on the exact outcomes to be 3-2 Canada and 3-2 United States. But my bigger bet, my best bet in this game, is both teams to score two goals. And that's at minus 125. I think that it's going to be a game where we see the offenses come to play. Very curious to hear the take from VSiN's NHL analyst Jonathan Davis. Coming up next with me, Scott Seidenberg, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Counting down the hours till puck drop. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The United States will take on Canada in the Olympic gold medal match in ice hockey. The puck will drop at 8:10 a.m. Eastern time for those of us here in Vegas and on the West Coast in general. That is a 5 a.m. start time. I don't know if I'm just going to stay up all night or just take a nap and wake up early, but you know I will not miss this game. Gave out some of my best bets last segment. We'll recap those as we are joined right now on the Progressive Guest Line by VSiN NHL analyst, host of Ice Cap on SiriusXM NHL Radio, Jonathan Davis. And I can tell, JD, we might be on opposite sides of this game. I am rocking my my D2 USA jersey, and that is, what is that? Is that a, you said 2010 Olympic gold medal jersey?
Yeah, it was the jerseys that they had made right after they won in 2010.
That is...
It's got the gold trim around the Canadian flag.
It's very fancy. It's very fancy. It's been a long time since the U.S. won a gold medal. Have to go all the way back to that 1980 team. It was also on February 22nd, so maybe some synergy there. Although the U.S. did win the IIHF World Championship this past season, so... They did get something, some bit of a prize, but the Olympics are a whole different story, JD. I know everybody leans towards the under, at least everybody that I've talked to or heard from leans towards the under in this matchup. And we know historically, game sevens in the Stanley Cup playoffs go under, double elimination spots here in these international tournaments tend to go under. But I actually think we're getting goals in this game. I gave out one of my best bets as both teams to score two or more goals. I think that this is a 3-2 finish. So, yes, I do lean a little bit towards the under 5.5, but I don't want to play under 5.5 because I can actually see a scenario where maybe it's a 4-3 win for one of these teams. Where did you fall on the total for this game?
Well, I'm with you. One of my best bets is definitely is both teams to score two.
Love
I
it.
Do, you know, if you can get the five, like I know FanDuel offers a flat line of five at about minus 140, you know, I'd be tempted to play it, but I like you. I think both teams to score two. That to me is the safest play, regardless. Because I don't know. Do we get the over? I listened to Eddie Olczyk in the last segment when you played that from Mitch and Pauly. But yeah, both teams to score two. I feel quite comfortable in that. I also like a first period both teams to score. We saw that in the Four Nations last year, and I kind of split up a small play. Both teams to score and 1-1 exact score. You can get the both teams to score at plus 240 for the first period and a 1-1 exact score at about plus 600.
I like that a lot. And one of the reasons why I like goals to be scored in the first period, now I don't know if it's going to be three or four or however many, could just be 1-1, two goals scored in the first period, is because I think we get a power play early in this game, JD. Everyone wants to talk about how there's so much hatred. We're going to see how physical this game is going to be. And I'm just reminding people that this is not the NHL. This is not the Four Nations Faceoff last year, which is officiated by the NHL. Yes, there are some NHL officials that will be participating in this game, right? You could get Wes McCauley. You could get some other guys that are officiating this game. But what does the IOC and the IIHF hate? They hate fighting. We already saw them ban the French player for fighting Tom Wilson in that Canadian game. I think there could be a scenario where the officials want to set the tone early in this game and say, hey, guys, we're blowing the whistle because we're not going to tolerate any of this. Play hockey and stop the nonsense. I think we get a power play early in this game.
Well, look, Scott, one, I think we may even get four NHL officials in this game because the rules for this tournament were that if you had a majority of NHL players playing in a game, you had to have NHL officials in the game. I don't know if that means all four, mm-hmm. but I would expect at least two, if not three NHL officials. I do not expect, three fights in the first 15 seconds. Now, when it comes to power play, look, the USA is the only team in this tournament that has yet to give up a power play goal. They're 18 for 18 on the penalty kill. Now, I know Canada, has been daunting on the power play at about 45%. They've scored three power play goals in their last two games. It'll be the best power play that USA faces. But I think we get more of an open game than than what Canada's had to face against the Czech Republic and Finland in their last two games, where they basically just played a prevent defense. And I think the same thing goes for what the USA has had to face. So I think we do get more of a wide open game. But yeah, Canada's going to have to find a way to score against the U.S. power play when they get that opportunity, because they haven't given up one yet.
If Sidney Crosby is a no-go for this game, what does that do to Canada? What does it do to their rotations? How does it impact them? We obviously saw them play without Crosby in their semifinal game, but now having that game under their belt, do you expect there to be some adjustments if, in fact, Crosby is a no-go?
Well, they had Nick Suzuki, you know, in Crosby's spot in the last game. And, you know, look, it was Suzuki, you know, who scored maybe the biggest goal for Canada in this tournament, you know, tying that game late against the Czech Republic. We'll see, you know, so that would be where, you know, I think, again, we'll see Suzuki in that spot. But ultimately, look, for me, Scott, the one thing that's concerning for Canada is that beyond the big three, and I mean the big three, I'm talking about, you know, I'll call it the Mac line of McDavid, MacKinnon,
yep,
and Macklin Celebrini. You know, the rest of Canada has been rather quiet in these last couple of games. They can't let that happen against the U.S., which I think is really deeper offensively. I think they're deeper defensively. Now, I argued with Mitch and Pauly about, you know, the battle between Binnington and Hellebuck, who's better. Look, what I will say about Binnington is that he's the one goalie between the two that has a Stanley Cup to his name. And, you know, as Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada said, when it comes to these big games, Binnington, who looks like Clark Kent, in, you know, for the St. Louis Blues, that cape comes on and he is Superman in these big games.
Yeah, we certainly saw Hellebuck fold in the playoffs last year, despite winning the Hart Trophy and the Vezina Trophy as the best goaltender and best player, most impactful player in the NHL last season. We're talking to a VSiN's NHL analyst, Jonathan Davis, here on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on the Sports Betting Network. You talked about how Canada needs more contributions from beyond that Mac line. I certainly think they need more contributions from the blue line. I'd love to see Cale Makar get more involved offensively, fire more pucks towards the net. If we're looking at like a shots on goal prop or like a points prop, is there anybody on the blue line or just beyond that Mac line for the Canadians that you'd be intrigued by?
Well, okay, so I'm one that I like matchups. You know, I think, Scott, you're pretty big on that during baseball season. For me, hockey season, I'm big on it. Mark Stone's got, let me just check notes here, I think it's 6 goals in 9 games against Connor Hellebuck.
Mm-hmm.
I like him for a goal. You know, other guys for Canada, I mean, I'm sticking to the big three and Mark Stone when it comes to goal props. On the U.S. side, Jack Eichel has lit up Jordan Binnington in his career.
Yeah.
Jack Hughes has been, I think, arguably the USA's best player along with Dylan Larkin. I think both those guys. And the irony, you know, the interesting thing with Larkin and Hughes both stepping up, these guys trained together in Michigan in the summer, and they've had a great connection on the ice. I would look to those guys. I didn't play any point props. I mean, you know, Quinn Hughes for an assist, the guy doesn't leave the ice. I think you can get that at a decent price. So if you're looking for an assist prop, that's another way to go if you don't want to go the goal prop. One other prop I do like, Jordan Binnington, Canadian goalie, over 25.5 saves. I think that's at about -115.
Ooh, okay.
I like that as much as I like the both teams to score 2 goals.
I'm writing that down right now. I actually really like that a lot. I was going to ask you about the goalie props, but Binnington, the save props, yes, I do like that. I was thinking like from shots on goal, you mentioned like Quinn Hughes, like he doesn't leave the ice. And I agree. Jack Hughes has, I mean, you saw that one play against in the semifinal where, I mean, he skates around everybody. He is probably the most skilled U.S. forward in terms of like stick handling that we've seen so far in this tournament. But I like playing some shots on goal prop here for Quinn Hughes, or we could just go for the assist, because if the U.S. does get on the power play, we know he's the quarterback. We know that he has not been shy from putting the puck on the net there. But I do like the angle on Binnington with the saves here. Final thing, JD, I bet the U.S. Yeah. before the tournament at +200. I'm not hedging off of it. You agree?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, yeah. Look, I think the USA wins. Okay. It's going to be very painful for me. But regardless, the only value is, you know, you got to take the team with plus money. And it's a coin flip game.
Yeah.
So I do like the U.S. One thing with shots on goal props, Jack Eichel leads Team USA with 22 shots on goal in the tournament. Quinn Hughes, 13. It is the most by a defenseman, but it's not, you know, be careful with what you're going to jump on for shots on goal prop.
Okay. X, maybe we'll just play the Binnington then and don't isolate a player. Just look at the team for Team USA to pepper the goalie there. JD, appreciate
it. Oh, you could play Macklin Celebrini. How about Macklin Celebrini? One shot on goal each period.
Wow.
That may be a way to go if you want to tie that in with something else.
There's certainly so many fun bets that we can do, and let's cash them all. JD, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game. We're waking up bright and early for it, and let's go Team USA.
The bars are open here at 5 a.m.
There he is.